Let's pray together. Lord, we're so thankful for the hope that we have in you, that one day you will come and you will swing low and you will carry us home to be with you. Until that day, we recognize, particularly now, that we are sojourners in a land not our own. And we pray that we would look to you, for we know that you are faithful in all things. So, Lord, our eyes are on you. Speak to us through your word and by your spirit. We pray it trusting you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, during these virtual Vespers times, I want to give you some tools that will help you cultivate strength in the stillness. Right now, we are all having to slow down. We are all having to remain kind of where we are to help mitigate the spread of COVID-19. And God has given us some tools whereby we can grow stronger even in our stillness. Last week, we talked about the power of the Word of God and how we can allow the Word of God to get in us and to get a hold of us and to transform us. Well, tonight, I want to talk to you about prayer. Talk to you about prayer. The theme I want to give you tonight is this: for strength in the stillness, turn to God in prayer. You know, prayer is a privilege, but God has extended that privilege to us. And so we should constantly avail ourselves of that privilege. We should be ever before our God in prayer. And tonight, I want to give you a paradigm that will help you kind of structure your prayers using the simple acronym ACTS, A-C-T-S. We're going to go through each one of those letters and find what they mean and how we can incorporate those teachings into our prayer life. But first, I want to give you a passage of Scripture in the Old Testament and a passage of Scripture in the New Testament that speak to God's desire to hear from His children. In Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 17, the prophet said, "Ah, Lord God, it is you who have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and your outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you." Indeed, it's true. Nothing is too hard for God. And 10 verses later in Jeremiah 32, 27, the word of the Lord comes to Jeremiah and says, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me?" And then in Jeremiah 33, 3, and if you're taking notes on YouVersion through our live event, this verse is right there before you. Jeremiah 33, 3, God says this: "Call to me, and I will answer you, and will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known." So what do we see? We see God recognizing that there is absolutely nothing that is too hard for Him. Can I tell you something? COVID-19 is not bigger than our God. The financial strain that we're under is not bigger than our God. All the craziness that's going on in the world right now is not bigger than our God. And our God says to us, "Call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and hidden things that you haven't known." So let me ask you a question. In this moment of uncertainty, and in this moment of anxiousness, and in this moment of nervousness, are you calling to Him? Oh, He wants you to. He is willing to hear from you now, and He is willing to answer and show you great and hidden things that you haven't known. There's a corollary verse in the New Testament. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, the Apostle Paul has just prayed for the Ephesians, and he ends his prayer in this way. Listen to this. "Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." I want you to think about that for just a second. Our God is able to do, the Bible says, far more abundantly than all we ask or think. So, you can't even imagine what God is able to do. All of our prayers are so small in the context of the God of the cosmos. A man that I studied for many years named Dawson Trotman, who founded a ministry called The Navigators that reached worldwide influence for Christ during World War II. It's very interesting. The ministry was very localized, and then Pearl Harbor happened. And we joined the World War II and the ministry went all around the globe. And God used that, even in difficult days, to awaken men and women to a relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, these were Trotman's key verses of his life, and he would often ask groups of people, hey, when's the last time you prayed? And when you did, what did you pray for? Did you ask the God, the King of the universe, for Cracker Jacks? Or did you ask him for continence? And in the midst of our crisis, the question for us is the same. When's the last time we prayed? And what we pray for? Are we asking the God of the cosmos for Cracker Jacks? Or are we recognizing that nothing is too hard for him? Are we recognizing that he is able to do far more, abundantly more, than anything we could ask or imagine? Well, in that context, I want to give you this paradigm to help you structure your prayers. It's ACTS, A-C-T-S, and those letters stand for adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. And so, very simply, when you go to God in prayer, start by adoring him. What is adoration? It is praising God for his greatness and his glory. Praising God for his greatness and his glory. You know, my wife and I have been married for nearly 15 years now, and she, at some point along our journey, had told me that flowers didn't really mean that much to her, so I stopped sending her flowers. And a couple years ago, she said, hey, how come you don't ever send me flowers anymore? I said, because I didn't think flowers meant that much to you. She said, well, it would be nice. So guess what I started doing? Started sending her flowers again. And what's the point of the flowers? For most men, we think we spend a lot of money on flowers, they're just going to die. But for my wife and for many other people, those flowers signify something. They signify my adoration of her, my love for her. When you go before God, start with how much you love him. Adore him for his greatness. Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. Hebrews 13:15 says, through him then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. And the psalmist said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. So let me ask you a question. When's the last time you just told God how amazing he is, how awesome he is, how glorious he is? You say, well, doesn't God know that? You know, my wife knows that I love her, but it's nice for her to receive flowers from her husband every now and again. Almighty God knows what we think of him. But we ascribe glory and honor to his name because he is worthy of our praise. So we start with adoration. The C is confession. And confession would be defined as this: being honest with God about my failures and sins. Being honest with God about my failures and sins. For those of you who are parents out there, I'm going to assume that chances are good that there has been a time when you have caught your child doing something they weren't supposed to do, and you knew exactly what they had done. You either saw them do it, or you know them well enough to know exactly what just happened. Let me ask you a question. Even though you know what happened, do you prefer it for them to lie to you about it, or do you prefer for them to tell you the truth? Well, of course you prefer for them to tell you the truth. I prefer for my kids to tell me the truth. Why? Because when they tell me the truth, it's telling me they value our relationship and they trust me as their father to be able to share what I already know to be true as true from them. You know what confession is? It's being honest with God that you messed up. It's being honest with God that you failed, that you sinned, that you missed the mark. God gave you the standard and you didn't make it. In fact, you broke it. And you know, all of us sin every day in so many ways. We sin in action, we sin by attitudes, we sin in our thoughts, we sin in our words, we sin in our deeds. We sin by omission, where we don't do what God has told us to do, and we sin by commission, where we do exactly what God has told us not to do. Now, for those of us who are believers in Jesus Christ, our sin ought to be decreasing and our Christ-likeness ought to be increasing. That's the trajectory of sanctification as we follow Jesus. But listen, Every day I mess up. And every day you mess up. You may say, well, God already knows it. He does. But just like with my children and me, just like with your children and you, isn't it better to just come before Him and come clean and say, Lord, I confess to You that I messed up and I'm sorrowful for that sin. I don't want to walk in that way anymore. That's not who I am anymore. You've made me a new creature. I'm Your child. And so I come to You and I confess to You and I stand firmly in Your forgiveness. I stand firmly in the forgiveness wrought for me on Calvary's Hill by Jesus Christ, and I thank You that I am Yours. So adoration and then confession. The T stands for thanksgiving. That's pretty straightforward. Thanksgiving means thanking God for what He has done. You know, there's always something to be thankful for. There's always something to be thankful for. In Philippians chapter 4, when the Apostle Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always, I will say it again, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be, I can never say that word, reasonableness. Let your reasonableness be evident to everyone. The Lord is at hand. What does he say? He says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. As you take your request to God, be thankful for what He's done. There's always something to be thankful for. Even in the midst of great suffering and great sorrow, if you'll look, you will see the hand of God revealed to you. Little ways in which God is showing up and making His presence known, even in the midst of the hardship that you're enduring. If you will open your eyes, you will see ways in which God is supernaturally moving. Many of the ways in which He's moving, you cannot perceive. But sometimes He'll give you a glimpse of His glory. Make sure you tell Him thank you. Jesus one time healed 10 lepers. The leprosy went away from them. Their lives were changed forever. They could now be around people again, whereas previously they could not. He healed 10 lepers. And do you remember how many came back? Just the one. I don't ever want to be like the 9 who received a great miracle from God and then just went on about their way. There's always something to be thankful for. So make thanksgiving a regular part of your prayer life. And then the last thing is supplication. Supplication is simply this, presenting your requests to God. Really, there's two forms. There is intercession, and there is your own personal supplication. So intercession is, I am asking for things for other people. I am asking things of God for other people. I'm doing for others the most powerful thing I can do. I am carrying them to Jesus on my knees and say, Lord, I'm powerless to help them right now, but I know You are able to do anything. And you know, right now during this time of social distancing, you may feel like you can't do much, but you can do the most powerful thing for another human being that you could ever do, and that is to pray for them. If you know of a need in their life, pray specifically for that need. And if you don't know of a need in their life, then pray that God would bless them in ways you don't even know to ask for, maybe that they don't even know to ask for. Intercede for the saints and for others all around the globe. Certainly pray for those who are suffering with this sickness and their family members. Pray for those who are providing care. Don't forget about those who are going on the front lines and putting their own lives at risk to minister to others and to care for others. Pray for an end to this thing. Pray for those whose world has been changed by this. Carry them to Jesus on your knees. And then there's personal supplication or petition. It's asking God for things in your life. And I've been a part of so many Bible studies where we were taking prayer requests and somebody invariably would say this, well, I don't want to be selfish, but I do have a prayer request for me. Do you know it is one of the most unselfish things you can do to ask for prayer for you? I heard one preacher put it this way, prayer is humiliating. Because when you're asking for prayer for yourself, and when you're going to God in prayer for yourself, what you're saying is, God, I can't do this. I can't do it. I need Your intervention. Well, you know what? If you're like me, so often you wait until the last minute to pray, when prayer ought to be the first thing we do about anything and everything that's going on in our lives. And so I want to encourage you, as you go to the Lord in prayer, remember that he's able. Remember that he is bigger than you think he is. He is able to do more than you think he can do. As you start your prayer, adore him. Praise his wonderful and glorious name, for he is worthy of your praise. Confess your sins to him. Be specific. Be as specific as you can. If you're like me, you sin more in one day than you can remember. But if you can remember, list those sins by name. Lord, I did this today, and I know that that is contrary to what you would have me to do and to be. And I ask for your forgiveness, and I stand in your forgiveness won for me at the cross of Calvary. Be thankful. Tell God thank you for the great things that he's done. And then be willing to present your requests to God and present them to him, knowing that there is nothing you take to him that he can't do something about. And so, what a powerful gift it is. This past Sunday, I told you the story of Joseph Scriven, who, after losing two fiancés to death before they could marry, he wrote a poem to his mother back home in Dublin, Ireland, just to encourage her and to encourage himself. He didn't think much of it, but it got picked up by a revivalist, D.L. Moody, in the 20th century, and it became one of the classic American hymns. What a friend we have in Jesus. And he said this, "Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." I want to invite you to pray with me now. And then maybe you and your family or whoever you're there with, maybe you need to spend some time in prayer. Maybe you just need to say, "God, you're able, and I come to you humbly." Let's pray now. Father, we love you, and we thank you so much for the privilege of prayer. And remind us always that you have opened the door for us to come boldly before your throne of grace through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is how we come. We come to you humbly, recognizing that it is only by your grace that we are able to approach you. And Lord, we bring our requests to you. We pray specifically for the situations and circumstances that are surrounding the COVID-19 pandemic. We pray for those who are sick and suffering. We pray for those who are providing care, who are keeping communities running. We pray for all people around the world to have the eyes of their heart open to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We pray that you would draw all of us unto you. So for those of us who are Christians, that we would be revived. And for those who have yet to come to Christ, that they would be awakened by your Holy Spirit to hear the truth of the gospel and to come to you, asking Jesus Christ to come into their life and to be their personal Lord and Savior, that they might be forgiven of their sin, made new in Jesus Christ, and set on a new trajectory of life that is full and life that is abundant and life that is eternal in you. So, Lord, we ask your blessing as we go into the weekend and our eyes are on you. We pray that you would help us, that you would heal us, and that you would draw us close and hold us near. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Thank you so much for tuning in and worshiping with us tonight. We encourage you to join us on Sunday virtually as we continue to navigate these waters, trusting our Lord Jesus all along the way.